All right. Welcome to the VC HTTP API weekly work item call. This is the call at the new time, Tuesdays, 4 p.m. Eastern. So hopefully we picked a good time through the poll, and we'll get it'll be easier on people's schedules. All right. Today on the agenda, that's perfect, Aaron. Thank you. Today on the agenda, we are going to continue our authorization discussion. We may try to make some preliminary decisions if we get to some place that could get to consensus. And if not, we will just go on and review some new use cases. So those are the two major items on the agenda today. We've got a lot of time for them. Are there any other updates or additions to the agenda? Anything extra people would like to discuss this week or on this call? Go ahead, Eric, you're up.
Yeah, just wanted to give a quick update on the use cases document. Because of the date change, I've updated our timeline so that our goal for having use cases in the document is now June 15th. And then 4 weeks distilling would put us at July 13th. Just a few minor date changes there. So just as a reminder, I guess it's going to be 2 weeks from today when we're going to try to close out the use case list.
Wonderful. Thank you, Eric.
Just to interrupt, Eric, if I got that date wrong, just feel free to correct it in the chat.
Sure.
Awesome. Thank you, Aaron. And thank you, Eric. Are there any other kind of highlights you'd like to give folks about how the use cases document is going?
We definitely have a good number of use cases added. A lot of them are still kind of single sentence, more, problem statements or, rather than a true use case. So still looking for people that want to take on kind of transforming some of these into some real use cases with a actual user story behind them. I think that's the main thing at this point. Unless Juan, I think I saw you join. Do you have anything to add?
No, I think we've been leaving comments on the longer ones, the focal use cases people have submitted. So if you submitted one, please check back. We tried to respond to each and sort of pose clarifying questions. If you're stumped about how to contribute and want to contribute, just read through them all and like Eric said, tease out one of the shorter ones into a longer thing.
Awesome. Thank you, Juan. And I noticed that, Mike, Varley, you put a couple of new use cases in there, which was really good to see. I jumped in, added another one just to start presentation flows, so that we could maybe have a discussion about that. As both Eric and Juan said, please add more, if you've got some interesting use cases that you want to make sure are covered by the verifiable credentials HTTP API. All right. Anything else on kind of the status update for use cases? We'll come back around to use cases and look at them in detail once we get through the authorization stuff.
One quick note. I think one of Mike's use cases, he actually already did answer our clarifying questions. And I think if there's time at the end, maybe talking through one of his two might be a good sort of exercise to model how we could quickly use some meeting time with a lot of interlocutors to suss out a boundary and equivalence question. That would be my top priority use case to discuss today if there's only 5 or 10 minutes.
Okay, great. I'm sorry. Could you say which use case that is again?
The trust agent one. The question of whether the trust agent is an implementation detail or if the API is specified in a way that would block it being implementable.
Got it. Okay. We'll put that on the agenda for to start off the use case discussion if we get to it today. All right. Thanks, Juan. Anything else that folks want on the agenda today? If not, we'll get started. All right, let's talk about authorization. So just to summarize what happened during the last call, we got a couple of good thoughts on the table about, you know, what should be in scope, what should be out of scope when it comes to authorization. There was, you know, a request that we don't put future authorization schemes out of scope, so for example, or at least make it impossible to use them in the future. Things like GNAP and ZCAPs and other things of that nature. There was a request that we put certain things just completely out of scope for the first iteration, like GNAP or ZCAPs, right, and push those off to later. There was a request that we focus on the things that people are implementing today and would really like to see, you know, out there. And the, so the specific request was let's focus on OAuth 2 until the other stuff is ready to go. And towards the end of the call, it felt like folks were kind of circling around the same thing. So I think maybe what we would like to do today is see if we can get to a proposal that everyone could get behind. So let me pause there for half a second to make sure that my summary was accurate, and we you know, and get any new thoughts. If folks did some thinking about authorization and what they'd like to see, get those thoughts out there before we start proposing things. Go ahead, Adrian. You are on the queue.
Yes, OAuth 2 is all about authorization, but it does not cover delegation. And so I would like to ask, how will we determine where delegation, how delegation is in scope or not in scope for this? Particularly since delegation is a core issue with respect to self-sovereign technology, identity, whatever you want to call it. So I don't think we can, I think we have to be deliberate about whether, for instance, we need to include UMA in the OAuth story in order to fulfill our responsibilities to a self-sovereign subject. Thank you.
Thanks, Adrian. Mike, you're up.
Thanks. This is not about delegation, unfortunately, but I wanted to also clarify, are we talking about system-to-system authorization? So, for example, OAuth client credentials for permission just to call an API? Or are we actually talking also about, maybe we're talking about both, are we focusing on the, you know, personal interaction where there's actually an individual giving consent for releasing, you know, or collecting or releasing verifiable credentials? And that falls back into to Adrian's realm.
Yeah, so yeah, I think those are excellent questions and is probably really going to drive the discussion. So, I think there are a number of different layers to this, right? So the thing that most people seem to have been focusing on, is the system to system client credential stuff, right? So I need to call a, verifier system, and, you know, I need to make sure that my systems can call it with authorization and other systems, you know, can't. So it's a, just a general access control, you know, authorization type thing. So that's a simple case. What do we use to do that? And the suggestion has been OAuth 2 for a variety of endpoints where that makes sense, right? So calling issuers to issue credentials on behalf of, you know, a set of DIDs that you presumably control. Same thing for verification systems. For endpoints that could be abused if you didn't have that authorization in front of it. So that's one class of things, system to system, traditional OAuth style things. So those are absolutely in scope, right? Because many of our APIs have that, you know, requirement. The other thing that is in scope is not using authorization at all. So for example, the presentation endpoints, I don't think there are any use cases today where you need to authorize yourself to start a presentation flow, like to contact something and say, I would like to send some credentials to you. Give me a challenge, right? You don't need authorization to do that. In, I believe all the use cases that we have. So those two seem to be very much in scope. The delegation one's a bit trickier, right? Because the question is, you know, what exactly are you delegating? And specifically, I think we probably need to, in order to address Adrian's question, we need to talk about a concrete use case where you need to delegate and then talk through how you would do that through OAuth too, and then how you would potentially do that using other mechanisms. So let me stop there. Andreas, you're on the queue.
Yeah. So really quickly, so we did discuss a use case where it was required to notify the receiver of the presentation that the presenter wants to make a presentation. So pretty much it's a pull versus push. So there is such a use case, and I think that was documented actually not in, yes. With and right. So I think that is at least one very important one that we have where this is required for presentation.
So we're, Andreas, to dig in on that, was it assumed that you needed authorization to do that, or was the assumption there that you didn't need authorization to do that?
The assumption was you needed authorization, to do that. So you needed to say, I have a presentation that I want to make. And the response was then okay. I have a presentation as X. Okay, do X in this format, and here's your domain, your endpoint, and your challenge.
Got it. Okay. Good. Okay. There's a start workflow use case that's also similar to that. So I guess the question there is, do we think we need authorization on that endpoint, or do you just start? So that's a good question.
Yeah, it's a question where you assume that something is done out of band, right?
Right.
Or not within that particular workflow because you somehow have to establish a trust relationship for the CID and OAuth2 to be set up.
Gotcha.
In the target system.
Got it. Henry, you're up next. And I'm not getting audio from you, Henry. I see that you're unmuted, but no audio. Still no audio. I'm going to go ahead and put you back on the queue, Henry. And let us know if you get your audio working. So let's see if we can eliminate, you know, items, delegation, Adrian. With delegation, what use case were you thinking specifically affected the VCHTTP API? So we already know there are delegation use cases, you know, in the whole ecosystem. What specific use case in the VCHTTP API do you feel requires delegation?
Well, the simplest one is, I mean, I mentioned three, but the simplest one is the letter of recommendation case where the verifier needs to receive the credential directly, either directly from the issuer or the credential otherwise has to be encrypted in such a way that the holder cannot read the letter of recommendation. So the other two cases, one of them is streaming of credentials, things that change, you know, every few minutes, and are really, most of them would be discarded by the holder if the holder was involved. And things having to do with revocation, where the revocation mechanisms are not available, and so the holder would just much prefer to delegate access rather than we as a community waiting to standardize delegation, I mean revocation, in order for the credentials to be adopted.
All right, thanks, Adrian. Let's try that again. Henry, go ahead.
All right, change my browser.
There we go. Hear your audio loud and clear.
Yeah. I put in a link for the solid authorization use cases. I don't know if they could be helpful, and also was wondering if they're like completely beside the point, so that we're using the words completely differently. Perhaps I should send that to the mailing list or something to discuss that.
I think that would be good, Henry, because I'm certainly unprepared to make any comments on it. I don't think I've looked at that specification yet. Would you mind doing like a quick, what types of, would you mind doing a quick run through?
Right now?
Not an in-depth one, just, you know, summarize it in a paragraph or two.
Right, I can send that to the mailing list and do that. But what we have is there's some very basic ones like read access, write access to a resource, giving group access, credentials. We have some use cases for credentials, properties being over a certain age to get access to a resource or to a collection. How the client needs to know what credentials it has to give, otherwise it would have to, randomly choose all its credentials and leak information, and also from the server side, that the server doesn't want to leak too much information either. And then, that's kind of the type of things that there are there.
Got it. Yeah. And it looks like there's some good use cases here. One of the things that I think may be resulting in some miscommunication here, is that I think some folks think that the verifiable credentials HTTP API has to do with the ecosystem, like it's an ecosystem-wide API, when it tends to be a little more focused on issuing verification and presentation. So Henry, a lot of the use cases that you talked about have more to do with encrypted data vaults than they do with the VCHTTP API. Although you could argue that there's some overlap there. Adrian, one of the challenges I'm having with the use cases that you outlined is those are perfectly reasonable and good use cases. I'm having a very hard time mapping the use cases to flows. And I know that you put together that document. the thing I think that would really help is looking at the API endpoints themselves, the ones that are defined in the VC-HTTP API, and going, this endpoint needs authorization, or this endpoint needs delegation, or some kind of delegated flow will pass through this endpoint. I think at that point we get to a place where we're concrete enough that we can say whether or not delegation is, in scope or not, or at what layer that delegation's happening, right? So I think when some of the people in this group talk about delegation, they're being very specific to like ZCAP style delegation on an HTTP API endpoint. They're not looking at the use case. They're looking specifically at the low level nuts and bolts of, I need to call an endpoint and I need to demonstrate that I'm authorized to call that endpoint, versus any of the data that's actually flowing, you know, back and forth. So Adrian, a number of your use cases seem to be focused kind of in the data layer of what's going back and forth, rather than in the authorization to a specific endpoint like issue. Now again, I think that there's some overlap, you know, as well there. Go ahead, Adrian, you're on the queue.
Well, the verifiable credential is a resource, period. And I just don't understand what you're asking. There's only one endpoint that matters here, and it is the endpoint that will produce, deliver, whatever you want to call it, or for that matter, accept a verifiable credential. That's it. I just don't, you know, I do not understand your question.
Let me try to restate it. So the endpoints, so you said there's only one endpoint that matters, or it's just the endpoints that you know, request or deliver, you know, credentials or presentations. We need to get more specific than that. We need to start talking specific, because many endpoints produce credentials and presentations, and a number of them receive presentations, right? And so we need to start getting very specific if we're going to talk about authorization, because we are, you know, what we're trying to do is to speak specifically about the authorization for a very specific endpoint. Right. So we need to get more detailed. Otherwise, we're going to keep going around in circles, is what I'm trying to say, Adrian. And so maybe an exercise that we can go through is to talk about each one of these endpoints that's called and what type of authorization we think that endpoint needs. That might, you know, help us get, unstuck here. Any other, thoughts or questions on, go ahead, Andres.
Yeah, just really quick. I think we need to distinguish between authorization of the endpoint and authorization of the resource. Right? Is the target system allowed to be called by the requester system, irrespective of what's delivered? Do I need delegation for that? Right? So am I saying I have SAP A here calling Oracle A on the other side with a presentation request, right? So Oracle B system needs to know that Oracle A, SAP A is authorized. If SAP B calls, right? And this is how I understand your delegation problem, Adrian, is if Oracle B doesn't, you know, Oracle system in B doesn't know that SAP system B is actually delegated, from A, then it doesn't know, right? It would reject that request. What you want to do is say, wait a second. There is a thing, right? That, or there's a delegation that happened ahead of time. So system B actually is allowed to call Oracle system. You know, SAP B is allowed to call Oracle B. So, am I getting to the root of that, or am I still far off base, Adrian, here to understand that? Because it's really sort of like establishing that piece that we're talking about versus whether the VC subject is involved or not.
I mean, if I am jumping the queue, I apologize. I just see this very, we have HTTP in the, in the name of the specification. And when you come to get a resource via HTTP, you are bringing some kind of a token that allows you to get that resource. And in this case, as I understand it, there's a port number or whatever associated with where you do that. That's the endpoint. So I just don't understand what the issue is here that Manu is raising about multiple endpoints. To me, HTTP says it all.
No, there's different types of specifications here that are, they're different things. Endpoints do different things, and they may require authorization, and they may not. They might be open, they might be not. I was trying to tease out, what do you mean with delegation? Right? In this case.
You said you, what I mean by delegation is what you said, which is, does the, resource owner, have the ability to delegate, control, or authorization, to, another entity, to come and get, in other words, it's the difference between, OAuth and UMA. That's
SAP. SAP A is delegating. It gives its access token to SAP B, so it can access Oracle A. Correct.
Whatever you, I know nothing about SAP or Oracle.
It's Oracle system, ERP systems. System A, System B. I don't care. Right, three systems: A, B, and C. A delegates to C. Right.
Alice is the resource owner, the subject of the credential, and she delegates Bob to pick up the credential.
Yeah. So that's exactly what I was talking about. This is not what this is about. This is about system A requesting a resource, going to target system B and saying, I want to call this resource that you have. Presentation.
That's Alice to Alice.
So hold on. Let's go back to the queue. I put myself on the queue. I think, Andres, no, that's totally fine. This was a really useful discussion. And, Andres, I think you hit the nail on the head. Adrian, I think the type of delegation that you're talking about is completely out of scope. So the reason is, in, I believe a decent chunk of the use cases, if not all the use cases you're talking about, Adrian, you need to make a decision. And when you say resource, Adrian, there's a double meaning there. So the language that you're using, Adrian, could be interpreted in two different ways. And I think that's what everyone's trying to understand is in which way do you mean resource? So if you need understanding about the thing you're going to get, like if you're reasoning about the verifiable credential, that is completely out of scope.
Absolutely. I agree with you.
Okay. So if all you're doing is figuring out if this entity that's coming to you should be able to hit that endpoint and do whatever they want to at that endpoint, then that is in scope. Right. And that's the use case Andres just came in. And so then the question is, can you delegate access? So the issue here though, Adrian, is that I think there's at no point do you start reasoning about, the verifiable credentials. It's just, can you hit the endpoint or not? And if you can hit the endpoint, in theory, you can issue anything you want to, right? Associated with that authorization that you have. You can get any credential that you want to with the authorization that you have. If we don't have like a really fine grained delegation mechanism, ZCAPS could give you, or maybe UMA could give you, or maybe GNAP could give you, right? So there are kind of two levels to this problem. The first one is, can we do the simple stuff? And that's what OAuth 2 is for, right? If we can do the simple stuff, then we can do the type of system to system, direct system to system calls that Andreas was talking about. And then once we get that done, then the question is that delegatable? So for that type of delegation, do we want to use UMA? Do we want to use, ZCAPs? Do we want to use GNAP? There's kind of like a second order of authorization. So there's simple authorization, which is OAuth 2, and complex authorization, which includes delegation. And so I think maybe the suggestion would be, we need to keep the complex authorization use cases in mind, and we are moving towards those. But more immediately, the immediate need is we need the simple authorization mechanisms to work. And that's where OAuth 2 comes in. So let me stop and see if folks that resonated with folks or if people disagree. Sorry, the queue is Adrian, you're up.
So what OAuth uses strings to determine scope. There is nothing simple or complicated about the issue in the context that you are saying. But what this is going to boil down to, because we've had the same discussion in the in the confidential storage work group, is whether the subject has the right to delegate access or not. It has nothing to do with how the scope, whether the scope is just limited to read or read-write or write, is, quote, simple or fine-grained. And I'm just simply, I see this as a human rights issue, and I'm not going to let go.
So let me try and pose the question differently. Could we talk about this as a, so Adrian, I have no idea why you keep saying it's a human rights issue. I understand. I mean, all of us do understand, where SSI and human rights issues could potentially come in, but it's a vague statement. So when you say it's a human rights issue, I can't make that jump. I don't understand, but more specifically, I'm wondering if we can talk about this as a priorities thing. Can we get the simple stuff right first, not put the complex stuff out of scope, but at least bump the priority of discussing that to a later time, right? So can we, could this group decide for the simple cases, OAuth 2 is fine. It's going to work. And we admit that there may be more complex delegation use cases in the future, and we will talk, we will get to those. We will talk about them as soon as they can be articulated clearly. Would there be any objection to prioritizing these things so that we focus on the simple stuff first and then continue talking about the complex stuff? Let me stop there to see if there are any thoughts on prioritizing. Okay, so Adrian, you're saying you would object. On what grounds are you objecting?
I am objecting on the grounds of having spent 10 years of my life looking at the disaster that OAuth created, specifically in healthcare, and number one. Number two, the fact that all of the people that I've worked with on OAuth over the last 10 years have moved on to GNAP because OAuth is an unsuitable foundation for interoperability, even at best. It leads, for instance, in the OpenID Connect metaphor, it leads to basically giving people a choice of either sign in with Google or with Facebook or go away. And it then leads to proprietary systems that do sort of solve the problem, like sign in with Apple, that have nothing to do with OAuth. So OAuth needs to disappear, whether you ask me or you ask people that are part of that community that created it, it just needs to go away. And I'll stop there. It serves business to business use cases perfectly well. It does not belong anywhere close to self-sovereign identity protocols.
All right, thank you, Adrian. Would anyone like to speak in favor of OAuth 2? Or why, anyway, thoughts. Ori, you're on the queue. Yeah, well, sorry, Ted, you're on the queue, then Ori.
Without digging too deeply into the underlying tech of it, OAuth is not reduced to those two login providers. There are a number of other providers that can work under it. We have an auth layer that allows dozens of authentication providers to be used within the OAuth umbrella. So that argument is spurious, and it may be that a bunch of people decided that they hated OAuth and went to another game, but their reasoning is flawed.
Thank you, Ted. Ori, you're up next.
That's essentially what I was going to say. OAuth as a standard is incredibly successful and has been adopted by all of those big companies which have all of those users. And whether you like it or not, integration with OAuth is an established path for quickly getting up and running. And it is an established protocol that has been attacked in the wild and survived for quite some time. Not a draft, not a community work item, a real internet standard. It has flaws, certainly. I think, Adrian, you have great visibility into a lot of the design decisions that OAuth made at the time that have come back to haunt it continuously. And all of that is completely orthogonal to the problem of whether or not you can safely rely on OAuth today. You can, companies do, and holding up this work item because there isn't a better replacement for OAuth yet isn't going to work out super well, because OAuth works today and it has problems, yes, but there isn't a better solution out there today than OAuth for a lot of these flows. And I agree with Ted that, you know, you can run your own OpenID Connect, provider servers. You can implement the OAuth standard. And there are social and mechanical issues like the NASCAR problem that are continuously problematic with OAuth, but it doesn't mean that OAuth by itself is somehow a foundation that's not worth building on. In fact, OAuth is a foundation that's very much worth building on, and it's a network of integrations that could allow us to really make this work item take off in a way that choosing to go back to square one and reinvent some of that stuff will 100% mire us in a tar pit that we are very unlikely to ever escape, given how hard it has been for folks to replace OAuth in the years since it was created.
Great. Thank you, Ori. I heard something mentioned that was interesting. So I think we're conflating things. So when we say OAuth 2 leads to, you know, these mega providers, I think folks are talking about OpenID Connect. They're talking about the authentication system, the login with Facebook, the login with Google stuff. That is not, sure, it's built on top of, you know, OAuth 2, but that is not OAuth 2. That is OpenID Connect, right? That is the thing you have issue with. And I have the same issue with it. That is a pretty, you know, I don't like it. It works today. And as Ori said, you know, there are companies that need to release products, and that is one way to do, to get single sign-on into your system. But that is not what we're talking about when we talk about applying OAuth 2 to these APIs. What we're talking about is client ID, client secret, you know, rotation of those, tokens, and using the token to call an endpoint. We're not talking about integrating, you know, OpenID Connect into this system. At least I certainly am not, you know, talking about that. So I want to make it clear that, you know, if people are objecting to like the whole single sign-on pain that the world's, you know, facing right now, that is not what we're talking about integrating into the VC HTTP API. what we're talking about is, you know, fundamental nuts and bolts of just like client ID, client secret, and OAuth tokens to call an endpoint. And I think that's, that might be where one of the places, you know, where we're miscommunicating.
I'm next.
Go ahead, Adrian.
So, the problem, Anu, as you, it has, stated, is not just, is not with OpenID Connect. The problem is that the registration step, the registration, the client ID and secret registration requirement is incompatible with self-sovereign, technology, with technology that is under the control of the subject.
How, Adrian? You've got to, you can't just assert stuff like that. You have to say how it's incompatible. So how?
Because in the real world, the service provider has to have a process by which they issue a client ID to the client. And that process involves, at the simplest, some kind of identity verification. Like in the case of Epic, the biggest EHR system, you know, what they would do is say, well, if you have a valid American credit card, then we will issue you. And the reason that OpenID Connect is a valid example is because they actually implemented dynamic client registration at scale in order to make it work. But the reason that OAuth only works in the business-to-business non-sovereign case is because of the client registration requirement, not because of OpenID Connect.
All right, I'm up, and then Ted. So, Adrian, I'd want to go into a more interactive style with you than the queue. So, false. I'm rejecting the point that you made, primarily because you can set up your own server and create your own client ID and client secret, and you don't have to use any of the stuff that you're talking about, right? And that is self-sovereign. You setting up your own server and running it and setting up your own, you know, OAuth. And to get an OAuth, like client ID and client secret, all you need is a web page on that system. You click a button and it will create a client ID and client secret. So absolutely zero need for OpenID Connect. So the more we talk about this, the more it feels like your issue is with, and I completely agree with you here, by the way, Adrian, your issue is with the use of OpenID Connect to force I don't see the point,
I know,
Adrian.
You don't. I'm going to.
So hold on, Ted's on the queue next, and then we'll go to you.
You want it to be interactive.
Well, I said I wanted it to be. We'd have to all agree to do that. Let's go to Ted, and then if we want to make it interactive, we can. How's that, Adrian? Go ahead, Ted.
If you go to the page I linked above, the uid.openlinksw.com, you can set yourself up with all the crypto material you need, and you can publish the public part on your Twitter stream, on your Facebook stream, on your web page, pretty much anywhere. And the other side, you put also pretty much anywhere that you feel it's secure. There is no requirement to use one of the big two or big three or big however many you don't like to do this. Is it easier to use them? Sure. Is it mandatory to use them? Absolutely not. And arguing that some aspect of technology is broken because it requires you to do that is entirely broken. You have no foundation, you have no floor, and everything else that you say about it that's based on that is garbage, therefore. I'm sorry, but that's the case.
All right, Adrian, over to you.
So I'm not going to respond to garbage, but I will say something to Ori's point, which is that the reason for my objection and why I insist that we do OAuth in parallel with GNAP, not GNAP instead of OAuth, I never said that, but that they be done simultaneously, is because safety is not the issue. What is the issue here that I'm calling human rights is entirely about privacy and the fact that the barrier of client registration impacts is incompatible with practical self-sovereignty. I'm not saying it's impossible, you know, and again, I don't want to go back to the self-issued OP authentication arguments and where they're stuck going in circles. Because obviously that confused a lot of people, for which I apologize. I'm just saying when you introduce client registration into the process for reasons of security or safety, as Ori mentioned, you are creating a system that is extremely unfair to the subjects, to the people that are not self-sovereign in this at all. The self-sovereign people here are the issuers and the verifiers. And you're not going to be able to talk me out of my objection on the basis of security. You have to deal with it on the basis of privacy. Thank you.
Great. Thanks, Adrian. Ted, over to you.
Yeah. So you rejected my foundation because of the last sentence that I spoke that demonstrates the flaw inherent in all of the rest of your argument. Start with the foundation. You said explicitly that the only way that these tools could be used was with registration with the 500 brown gorillas in the space.
No, I gave
you
an
did
example.
Say that.
I gave an example of the failure of OpenID Connect as a wide ecosystem thing. What I'm saying is the reason OAuth is only practical and in the wild as a business-to-business connection, as an Alice-to-Alice in two businesses, has nothing to do with the five gorillas or the two gorillas. It is simply a matter of it is a matter of record.
And again, and I'm going to interrupt because you interrupted. Again, look at the site that I pointed to and look at what you can do with it. There are dozens of demonstrations. Kingsley's out every other day putting another place that you can use to see that you can put up a verifiable identity, which does not require business to business at all. And until you stop making those assertions, without any basic grounding, then everything else that comes out of your mouth about the subject must be discounted because you don't have a foundation. If you can build a foundation, then I'll be happy to listen to the rest of it. But until you have that foundation, the rest is nonsense. It just goes nowhere.
All right.
Over to you, Manu.
Thanks, Ted. So we're getting passionate, which is a good thing. Just make sure that nobody crosses the line to personal attacks or things of that nature. Nobody's done that yet. I'm just giving everyone a heads up / cool down. But it's great that we have folks that are passionate about this stuff in the community. I want to collect some data, from folks that are on the call. So Adrian, proposed something. So the proposal, and this is a poll. We're not trying to make a decision. So I'm going to do a poll. And we're going to do a couple of polls, and this is just plus one, minus one polls. The first poll is to run Adrian's proposal here. So, it would be to implement, it would be to prioritize working on OAuth 2 and GNAP simultaneously when adding authorization to the VC HTTP API to select VCHTTP API endpoints. Well, let me just do two VCPH. Okay, so real quick, the poll is prioritize working on OAuth 2 and GNAP simultaneously when adding authorization to VC HTTP API endpoints. I'm going to run a couple of other polls. One of them is going to prioritize one over the other. And just all we're doing is getting feedback from the community. So Adrian, this one's your one I'm running first. And it just basically says we're going to work on OAuth 2 and GNAP at the same time when we're working on authorization. So let me put that in there. Plus one if you agree, minus one if you don't, and then you can use a floating point value in between, if you disagree. All right, I'm going to hold off for a bit more for more people to get some thoughts in. So we've got eight in, and we've got 14 people here. So a good chunk aren't providing input. If you have some input, please feel free to give it. Zero is fine if you're like, I could go either way, or I don't have an opinion on it. So yeah, Henry, GNAP is just starting. It's in the early days at IETF. All right. So we're getting a decent bit of feedback, and I'll keep it open for a little longer while I work on the next poll. So the next poll would be the what seems to be the counter proposal, which is prioritize working on OAuth 2 for authorization to VC HTTP API endpoints, and enable the use of other authorization mechanisms like GNAP, CCAPs, etc. As a priority to item. I'll do priority one. So prioritize working on OAuth 2 for authorization to the VC HTTP API endpoints as a priority one item, and enable the use of other authorization mechanisms like GNAP, CCAPs, etc. as a priority two item. So let me go ahead and put this in here and see what folks think of that poll. So again, plus one if you agree, minus one if you disagree, anything in between. Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, the other thing you can do to provide feedback, since it's a poll, look at what, Mike and Andreas are providing as input. You can have a more nuanced position than the poll itself. Juan, you're on the queue.
I was actually just asking procedurally what lower priority means. Does that mean it happens second?
Hand wavy. It's very hand wavy on purpose. It's just like, hey, if we have a decision, if we're, our back is against the wall and we can only work on one thing today, and we've got, OAuth 2 and the, other authorization mechanisms thing, we're going to pick OAuth 2 because that's our number one priority.
Um, I just am remembering what Adrian said earlier about OAuth not being impossible for a lot of the use cases he's working on, but being very, very impractical or infeasible at scale. And I think that might be one interesting way to square the circle, because if it's possible, but no one would actually do it in OAuth, and things that are not yet stable would make it easier. You can still describe the hard way of doing it with today's tools, and people can still make their own decisions. I don't know. Maybe that's not helpful. I'll stop talking.
No, I mean, it's you know, we should consider, you know, taking that approach. So, I mean, I think, so Adrian, I think one of the things that we're seeing here is that there's a preference. And there's still, you know, no consensus on what we do. So, we're at the top of the hour, end of the call. We are going to come back to this, again next week. And see if we can, see if we can make progress, right? So Adrian, I'm wondering if you can come up with a proposal that would address, you know, people's concerns in the group and the way that you saw these polls go. That's one option, Adrian, is you propose something that could get consensus, you feel, in the group. The other option is that we take just one endpoint and talk about the types of authorization mechanisms that we think are appropriate for it. So, for example, do something simple, pick the verification endpoint. What type of authorization should that support? OAuth 2, GNAP, you know, that kind of stuff. Okay, so we'll do that next time, and if we, you know, don't have enough content for that, which I really think we're going to have enough content, but if we don't, we'll go and cover some use cases. In fact, we'll put aside time for use cases next week. All right, that's it for the call today. Thank you, everyone, for your engagement and passion. We'll chat again next Tuesday. Ciao, all.